It's time for AI News, brought to you by AI 8W Podcast.
So we've been trying this new thing during the autumn to have a small break in the middle of the podcast, and then we go back to the discussion and hopefully back to the open source question, which I'd love to discuss more with you, Anastasia, about. But let's do a few minutes of some topic and that we all speak about. And perhaps I can start because I have one connected to the very topic we just spoke about
first. Yeah, so just, Anastasia, if you have a topic of something you read in the news that you think is newsworthy the last week, more or less, so it's, everything was happening so fast, so we thought, okay, what is the major headline news in the field of AI? If you have it, you have it. Otherwise, don't worry about it.
I think I missed last week.
Anders, you go first.
Yeah, well, during the last week, I think it happened last week before this, but anyway, it's been one story that's been over the media quite a lot, and that's that Sam Altman, the now still again the CEO of OpenAI, is apparently raising money for a new chip company. And this is nothing new. We heard about Rain AI, and it was like a couple of billions of dollars, like you need $50 billion for that. But now suddenly they're speaking about raising $5 to $7 trillion.
Which is an obscene amount if you think about the GDP of countries in the world.
It is absurd. I mean, if you take the market cap for Microsoft now is $3 billion. Apple is slightly below. And then you say they are raising this amount of money. You know, I'm an investor myself, and you know, if they are raising that amount of money, it should be valued at least 4, 5, perhaps 10 times this. If you take a company that's valued, let's say 5 times to have it in a low range, to that, it's like 30, 40 trillion dollars. That's like the amount of all the publicly traded companies combined.
But it's
like insane amount of money.
Yeah, but why is he doing it then? Because then you need to unpack this. Is this just a marketing stunt? I mean, like the onslaught of comments on this obscene number. There are many angles to this. So how did you want to unpack that? Because that he said it, good. Yeah. Is it a marketing stunt? You know, what was your take on it?
I really don't know, and I hate to speculate this much, but I think it's such an important topic that we have to speculate, even though we know nothing basically about it. But you know, Sam has himself, you know, commented on it on X, so it can't be completely rumored. But perhaps it's a marketing stunt.
But okay, so the backdrop is maybe important if you're not fully into this. It's like we were talking about the semiconductor business, and that has been super concentrated to Taiwan, and to actually one company in the world who has sort of such a world dominance. And I think during the COVID in different ways, we have seen how fragile the whole supply chains has been on this. So I think everybody grew up, if not before, so from the Scanias to whatever company, that we have a semiconductor shortage. And in the end, in the geopolitical powers, I think Sam is basically doing a very simple job. He's going to the people that has a geopolitical interest and say, hey, man, it's time to get into the game. And then if you go back then and have sort of studied the semiconductor business, and there is some really interesting books you can read on the history of semiconductors, the entry ticket, you know, into that game, you know, we are talking now building foundries and stuff like that, the foundational stuff, you know, to get stuff done. And this is massive. And then you add neomorphic to that story.
But this is the Rain.ai. I don't think this is going to
Isn't the Rain going to go neomorphic? I think
that's
the whole point.
Yeah, sure, but I don't think this 7 trillion thing.
Okay, do you mean the 7 trillion is your semiconductor in general?
I don't know what it is, but I think it's more than Rain.ai.
Yeah, but I think
Rain could be part of it, but I don't think that's the whole
thing. No, but I think the bottom line is that this is a geopolitical play by Sam Altman, where he basically raises the super riches and the superpowers who sort of thinks, we need to be in control of this destiny here, and we need to dominate this, you know. And then those money make sense. I don't know.
Imagine going to some investor. You know, he's going to he went to like Saudi Arabia or this Saudi Aramak, the biggest, you know, oil producer in the world, and they apparently invested in Rain, I believe, but they were declined later by US because of geopolitical reasons.
Exactly.
But you know, to go to someone and say, "I want to raise $7 trillion," and then someone, what do you mean? They have to have such a pitch deck, you know, to this one, to say that this you're going to invest more money than any company in the world is even worth today. I mean, they must have, you know, then you can see so many conspiracy theories about this. Yeah. They are saying, of course, this is AGI. Of course, they have now a proof. You know, if anyone going to put in 7 trillion, of course, they have been able to prove that they have AGI in-house, and that's why they're getting this. But you know, this is just conspiracy theories. We don't know if it's true.
But in the end, you know, if you take it all the way back, even if it's just a stunt,
yeah,
it works.
Yeah,
it works because it raises the stock price of Microsoft. Even it raises all this.
What do you think, Anastasia, about this crazy raising money funding investment?
I'm on the cynical side.
Yeah, you don't think it's a stunt?
Yeah, but I think there were some other interesting comments in relation to that. I can't exactly phrase the article I read. I can't quote it, but it was more or less like. A little bit like, what has the world come to when someone, you know, how are we thinking philosophically as human species when we can, and how can we let the capitalist view on this dictate these topics? So something is fundamentally, I mean, like there was an article that there is some fundamentally flawed thinking here. And not per se Sam Altman and stuff like that, but more like, what has the world come to? I mean, like, I don't know if you read a couple of those articles as well, so... There was a lot of commentary on this.
It's depressing if you
obscene,
think about it.
Obscene. Mm. Yeah. All right, let's leave that. Mm. I have another one, but I almost let you do it, but I can lead into it. OpenAI rolls out ChatGPT memory to select users. What is that all about, Anders?
Oh, thank you for dropping that. I
put the news on, but I can start it.
I think it's an
interesting one, right?
It is very interesting.
Yeah. But I can start, you need to take it up. So sure. OpenAI has begun rolling out memory capabilities to a select number of ChatGPT users. Okay, interesting. So we can now control the memory, we can put it off and on. But I think, you know, the interesting point that I think to some degree is missing in some of these comments is what it means. I think the articles I read now has done a pretty poor job in sort of, wow, what's the wow factor of the memory topic here? Yeah. So help me here.
No, but this is back to the RAG. I mean, if you were to guess what they have done, it's simply adding RAG to ChatGPT and then putting that, you know, for every user. And they put it to GPT-S as well as separate, you know, memories. So in short, since ChatGPT can't be fine-tuned quickly, the only added or other, you know, way to go forward to be able to quickly adapt to what you have said recently is to have some kind of memory added to it. So this is perfectly the, you know, short-term, you know, working memory kind of thing that you add on top of the large language model that contain the basic knowledge, if you may say so. But it has, you know, short-term knowledge versus long-term knowledge then in two separate parts. And of course, it's super powerful. It can remember, you know, I want to always summarize the quarterly report from this company in this format. Then you don't have to say it the next time. You just, you know, send it in and it remembers, you know, your preferences and whatnot. And it knows your children. It knows everything you wanted to change. But actually, it did have a feature, if I don't recall incorrectly, to erase memory. This was kind of interesting. You can, of course, turn it off. If you don't want it to have memory of what you have said before, you can turn it off completely. You can also say this, I want you to memorize.
And never forget.
Maybe. But you can also go in and see what it has memorized and delete parts that you don't like. Imagine if I could do that to you, Henrik.
Oh my God.
Can go, Henrik, please remove these memories from the late nights.
Exactly.
In the podcast.
You know, the karaoke. Please remove this karaoke experience.
It would be awesome.
But Anders, you almost said it like, this is, you know, the short-term memory or adding memory is a little bit what, you know, you could call that is what we're doing with the RAG.
Yeah.
So if this is a large language model and when we add a RAG, as we discussed before, it's a little bit like the short-term memory. Do you think that's the technique here or is
it
something
else?
Not
long-term, I don't think, but short-term, yes.
You think that's what it, do you understand it that that's literally what, when they say memory, it seems fancy and all this, but it's something that allows you to then put in your own text.
And kind of sure of it. I'm not sure if you have any thoughts.
I haven't looked into it. But,
no, I don't, because it's so interesting, right? The technicians get a hold of it and we call it something, you know, strange, RAG, retrieval, what is it?
Retrieval augmented generation, yeah.
Retrieval augmented generation. And then when the marketeers get a hold of it, memory. you know, so.
I mean, it's obviously some kind of RAG-based technique. They simply have some passage of text that they, or other type of content that they remember over a session.
And do you think people would like this? Because I can take another angle on this, like that it feels kind of safe. I feel like if I'm an enterprise, we are using them over there, but the RAG thing, I want to be having my own control, and I do it, even if I'm doing it shitty, it's in my server sort of thing. While now I'm going to do my thing inside the other thing. So I think there's a question here. You can use the memory feature, but do you want to use the memory feature rather do your own RAG at home? I think it's also a matter of, you know, controlling your data here.
Yeah, but so many people are not aware of that problem, I think.
Yeah.
And it maybe it's a bit scary the first time and or first months, but then you get used to it.
It's going to be so much more seamless, of course.
It's like putting data on Facebook. You know, exactly. It's scary, but exactly. Everyone does it, right?
Anyway.
Most people.
So the memory part. And then they launched that. This is some sort of alpha beta, I guess. It's not really out there yet for us to try. So we don't know yet.